Very good evening to brothers and sisters in Christ. For tonight's devotion, I will be speaking on passage Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to that passage. And I've entitled the devotion, Two Hearts Before the Same Savior. I think this passage is maybe quite familiar, really, to some of us. And we see a paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof of a house by his friends and was brought before Jesus. And for today's devotion, I would like to just highlight some of the contrast that we see in this passage, mainly between the paralyzed man and the Pharisees. And in this passage, the setting is that it's one of which is a very crowded house where Jesus is teaching. We see that the room is full and people have gathered to hear him. And among them are not only the ordinary listeners, but also the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, religious leaders who have come from different parts of Israel, from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And at first glance, it looks like everyone is in the same place for the same reason. They are all near Jesus. They are all hearing his words. And they are all witnessing the same event. But Luke here shows us in this passage that people can be in the same room, under the same preaching, before the same Christ, and yet have very different hearts. So I've broken the passage into three different sections just to highlight some of the contrast we see between the different people here in this scene, the paralyzed man and the Pharisees. Okay, so firstly, in Luke 5, verses 17 to 19, and I'll just read. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bit, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And so you see here, crowded room, different people, Pharisees and teachers of the law, physically near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby, sitting under his teaching. But we also see that their posture is one of observation and scrutiny. Luke also tells us that in verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And this is striking because the power of God was present, but not everyone benefited in the same way. The paralyzed man would soon receive forgiveness and healing. The Pharisees, however, remained spiritually resistant. In verse 18, the paralyzed man is brought in. Right, we know that he cannot come to Jesus by himself. He is helpless, dependent, and carried by others. And when the crowd blocks the way, his friends lower him through the roof and place him before Jesus. And here we see first contrast. We know of the Pharisees, how they are like. They are near Jesus, knowledgeable and not lacking, but they are proud and guarded. The paralyzed man here is helpless, brought in humbly before Christ. And he's needy and dependent. In Matthew 15, verses 1 to 20, the scribes and the Pharisees came to confront Jesus as well because his disciples did not follow the ceremonial washing traditions of the elders. But Jesus exposed a deeper problem. They were more concerned, exposed a deeper problem within them, right? They were more concerned with man-made traditions than with God's commandments. And they use religious customs to avoid obeying God's command to honor father and mother. And Christ rebuked them with Isaiah's words, that these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor of me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus then taught that true defilement does not come from unwashed hands, but from the sinful heart. And so it is possible to be near Jesus physically and outwardly, yet far from him inwardly. But we see that true faith comes to Christ in humble need. And in these verses, we see the two groups placed before us. And this really speaks to us today, right? In church, we may easily fall into the same posture that the Pharisees had without realizing it. You know, for a lot of us who attend church, who has been attending church for a long time, we may attend worship regularly, we may, you know the Bible, we may serve in many places and be familiar with sermons and prayers. Yet, we may need to ask ourselves, is our heart soft before Christ? We may perhaps listen to a sermon being preached and critique. Was it well preached? Was it too long? Is it going in circles? Or I already heard this many times. So these are maybe some of the thoughts that go through our heads. And if we only evaluate and critique, but never allow the word of God itself to evaluate us, we may perhaps be sitting near to Jesus like the Pharisees, close outwardly and physically, but very distant inwardly. The paralyzed man and his friends teaches us a different posture. We must come to Jesus honestly and as needy people. He came to be healed physically, and they had faith that Jesus could heal him. And this can be especially searching for us because many of us are trained from young to be the best at what you do, to be capable, efficient, self-reliant from our school days all the way to working. We are used to performing and achieving, solving problems and appearing put together. But before the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to come as needy sinners. And we thank God for his blessings and providence in our lives. But before Christ, we do not come as successful students, capable workers, wonderful parents, or experienced church members or knowledgeable Christians. We come to Christ as needy sinners. Let's search ourselves each time we read the word, each time we pray, even before worship. Am I coming to Christ to be searched? And am I willing to be brought low before Christ? Not to come as one who has it all put together, but as one who needs grace, one who asks God to search my heart, to humble me before your word, and to bring me nearer to Christ. Secondly, we see different responses to forgiveness. And in the next few verses, Luke 5:20-22, we see that when Jesus sees their faith, he says to the paralyzed man, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And this is surprising. The man's obvious problem is paralysis. But here we see Jesus addressing the deeper need first, which is sin. Christ shows that our greatest need is not merely outward relief, but forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And this does not mean that every sickness is caused by a specific personal sin. Rather, Jesus is showing that man's deepest problem is not physical weakness or any form of earthly suffering. Our deepest problem is sin before God. And Jesus does not merely identify the problem. He provides the solution. He forgives the paralyzed man of his sins. And in verse 21, we see the response from the Pharisees. Right? They reason in their hearts. Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And in some sense, they are correct. They are theologically correct. Only God can forgive sins. And they understood the seriousness of this claim that Jesus was making. If any ordinary man claimed authority to forgive sins, that would indeed be blasphemy. But here we see that the Pharisees have theological knowledge, but are spiritually blind because they do not recognize who Jesus is. Instead of rejoicing that a sinner has received mercy, they accuse Jesus of blasphemy. Jesus then goes on to expose their hearts in verse 22. He says, What reason ye in your hearts? Their objections may have been inward, but Christ saw them clearly. He knew the unbelief that was beneath their reasoning. And he saw not only their public religious posture, but also their hidden resistance. And here we see the second contrast, where the paralyzed man receives grace, but the Pharisees, they resist grace. The paralyzed man stays silent. but it's blessed. The Pharisees are knowledgeable, but hardened in their hearts. We see in the Pharisees here how a legalistic heart responds when it witnesses grace shown to others. In Matthew 23 as well, Jesus strongly rebukes the scribes and Pharisees for their hypocrisy, pride, outward religion, and lack of true heart of righteousness. They taught the law, but they did not practice it. They loved religious attention. They placed heavy burdens on others and were careful about outward details while neglecting the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And Jesus described them as whited sepulchres, beautiful outwardly, but inwardly full of uncleanness. And this helps us understand their response in these verses. When Jesus forgave the paralyzed man, they didn't rejoice that a sinner had received mercy. Instead, they reasoned against him in their hearts. And their problem was not lack of religious knowledge, but proud and hardened hearts that cared more about outward religion and fault-finding than mercy, humility, and faith in Christ. And so when we look at the Pharisees in the Bible, sometimes it's very easy to recognize and point out, you know, what is wrong, what is right, what did they get wrong or right. And perhaps many of us have gone through these stories since young, you know, not to be proud, not to be legalistic, the dangers of a hardened heart, etc. But the truth is, if we don't constantly reflect and check ourselves, we can be in danger of having the same spirit. If we don't let the Word of God constantly evaluate us, we may find ourselves actually identifying with the Pharisees. For example, if, let's say, there's someone in church who has had a messy past or perhaps a criminal record or ex-convict, or he or she was an ex-convict, how will you feel towards that person if you come to know of their past? You know, for some, the natural thing to do would perhaps be some form of social gatekeeping, right, to distance ourselves from that person. Do we then have a certain template of what religion is like? And if that person does not fit within our template, do we feel at some form of unease, or do we feel uncomfortable? Getting back to my point, do we then have a legalistic heart? Right? Do we rejoice when someone comes to know of Christ? Do we rejoice when someone who has backslidden comes back to church? Or do we rejoice when a brother or sister has repented of their sin? The gospel reminds us that none of us deserve mercy. And if Christ has forgiven me, I should not resent his mercy and grace to someone else. A legalistic heart is not moved by the man's relief or grace. It is immediately triggered by a breach of its theological code or a set of rules on what is acceptable. The Pharisees' first internal thought isn't praise God that this man is forgiven, but rather they mention, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? And so a legalistic heart isn't a heart that follows rules. It's a heart that uses those rules to gatekeep who is allowed to receive God's love. So do I rejoice when others receive grace? Or do I quietly compare, criticize, and question? So let's remember the grace that God has shown towards us, and help us to rejoice with others when grace is shown to them as well. And lastly, in the last few verses, we see from Luke 5, 23 to 26, Jesus then proves his authority. And he asks whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? We know that it is easier outwardly to say, your sins are forgiven, because no one can visibly verify it. But to say, rise up and walk, requires visible proof. And so Jesus performs this visible miracle to confirm what is invisible. He heals the man physically to prove that he truly has authority to forgive sins. Jesus declares, but that ye may know that the Son of Man have power upon earth to forgive sins. Then he says to the paralyzed man, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. The paralyzed man immediately rises, takes up his bed, and goes home glorifying God. His life is now a testimony to Christ's power and mercy. And Luke also records that he immediately rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. The crowd is then amazed and glorifies God. But Luke leaves the Pharisees in silence. They have seen the evidence, but there is no record that they repented or rejoiced. And here's the contrast. The paralyzed man responded to Christ with obedience and praise. The Pharisees, however, remain in unbelieving resistance. Matthew 5:17-20 makes the point that the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees was the wrong kind of righteousness, legalistic and self-glorifying, while what God requires is obedience from a heart changed by Christ. The scribes and Pharisees taught the law, but did not practice what they preached. And likewise for us, you know, we are often also very practical and very careful and pragmatic. We plan ahead, we assess risks, weigh consequences, and try to make wise decisions. And these can be good and responsible habits. But when this mindset enters our spiritual life unchecked, it can become a way of delaying obedience. We may hear God's word clearly, but immediately begin to qualify it. For example, I know I should forgive this person, but then maybe I need to think of how to protect myself as well. Or I know I should speak nicely at work, but at the same time, I need to protect myself and people will take advantage of me. So I need to be careful and think of, you know, some ways to have some kind of guardrails around it. And there are many other scenarios. And some of these concerns are real, right? And we're not saying that Christian obedience means being careless, naive, or irresponsible. But we need to discern when practical reasoning becomes a shield against surrendering in obedience. We see here that the paralyzed man shows us a different response. When Jesus said, "Arise," he arose. He did not remain on the mat, analyzing all the possible difficulties. He responded to Christ's word with obedience. The Pharisees, however, remained in their reasoning. They had heard Christ teach, they had seen his authority, and they had witnessed the man rise and walk. Yet Luke gives us no record that they did anything, that they repented or rejoiced. And especially for Christian, we may encounter Christ repeatedly in sermons, in Bible studies, devotions, fellowship, and even in our prayers. But are we changed, or do we still remain unchanged if we keep analyzing or delaying and explaining away his word? So the question is not only do I understand what Christ is saying, but which areas of my life is Christ calling me to obey? For us, obedience may come in different forms. It could look like choosing integrity when cutting corners is easy, or serving quietly when no one notices, or showing mercy to someone difficult, or even trusting God with our career, our finances, children, and future plans. So let us ask ourselves, where is Christ calling me to obey? And when Christ speaks to us, let us not merely reason, but like the paralyzed man's example, to rise and obey immediately. In conclusion, we see in the passage that we just read through 17-26, the two hearts before the same Savior. The paralyzed man, physically helpless, but spiritually blessed. He came needy and received grace. The Pharisees, religiously respectable, but they were spiritually resistant. And they sat near Jesus, heard his teaching, saw his miracle, yet they reasoned against him in their hearts. And this passage warns us that it is possible to be close to the holy things and yet far from humility. It is possible to know doctrine and yet miss Christ. It is possible to hear the language of forgiveness and yet not rejoice in grace. But the passage also gives us great hope. Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sins. And that means we do not need to hide behind religious appearance. We do not need to pretend that we are strong or prove that we are worthy. And this is exactly what Jesus says later on in the same chapter. they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The paralyzed man knew he was helpless. And like a sick man needing a physician, he was brought to Christ in need. But the Pharisees, they saw themselves as whole. They did not think they needed mercy, and therefore they could not rejoice when mercy was shown to others. So let us come to Christ, not as one who is whole, but as one who is sick. Not as one who is worthy, but as one who needs grace. And like the paralyzed man, let us come before Christ, helpless, needy, and fully dependent. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word, and we ask for grace to keep us from the heart of the Pharisees. Search our hearts and expose any pride, criticism, unbelief, and self-righteousness within us. Help us to come like the paralyzed man, aware of our need and dependence on the Lord Jesus. Teach us to rejoice in your grace, and when you show grace to others, speak to us through your word and grant us grace, not merely to reason, but to repent, to believe, and to obey. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.